We now take a moment to sing God Bless America. We are led tonight by retired Navy Petty Officer First Class, Gerald Wilson.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the nights with the lights from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans wide with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home.
Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday by the grace of God. This is our 20th year bringing these broadcasts to you. And we praise the Lord for this radio station, for all the prayers and provision. And for you, the listener, we thank you. If this is your first time today, we hope you come back each and every Sunday. We say welcome to you. And for those of you who've been with us for many years, we say thank you to you. We appreciate you. And we hope we can continue to bring these messages, the gospel of hope, the gospel of peace, to you for many more years to come. Wanted to start off today's message with that rendition of God Bless America to give honor and memorial to those who have sacrificed for our freedom, and just to appreciate what a great country we have here. God has blessed this country so much, and if you don't believe, go to other countries in the world and see how they function, see how they operate, and you will come back to America with a whole new idea about this country and a whole new appreciation for what a great and marvelous country we have that is truly blessed by the all-living Creator God. And so that was the reason for that introduction, and I hope you enjoyed it. We're going to take up today Acts chapter 4 as we go through the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4. And this is a story of persecution. And so we're going to look at Peter and John as they preached the word and a miracle happened. And then as a result of that, they were persecuted because of their belief in Jesus Christ. So turn to Acts chapter 4. We'll start in verse 5. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host. We'll get to the message here in just a minute. Want to give you a brief update what's going on in the ministry over in Kenya. Pray for provision. And we are embarking on a big project for the ministry. We want to build a primary school there. It'll be right next door to the children's home. We have 2 acres of land we're working with, and we're going to build a primary school, grades 1 through 8. For about 200 children there in the village. We'll be teaching them the ABCs, Foundations of Good Education, and at the same time, we're going to be preaching and teaching to them about Jesus Christ. And so many of these children come from Muslim families, unchurched families, and so it'll be an opportunity to witness to them, to share the gospel, bring the good news of hope to them as they grow up there in Makunda. So if you're interested in helping us with that, we're trusting the Lord for $300,000 to get that project finished, get the children in there. So if you're interested in help, contact me at pureprairie@hotmail.com or stay tuned to the end for contact information. Well, today we're going to be talking about Acts chapter 4. We're working our way through Acts, different aspects of the beginning New Testament church, different aspects of the church that was launched on the day of Pentecost there in Acts chapter 2. And so when we come to Acts chapter 4, this is Peter and John, and they've been launched out from the day when 3,000 people came into the kingdom, and now 5,000 people more have come in just a short time later. And so Peter and John have raised this man up. They grabbed a hold of his hand, Peter did, and pulled him up and said, "Walk." And this man had been crippled since birth. Even in his mother's womb, he had been crippled. And so it was a notable miracle that even the unbelievers and the people who were persecuting and naysayers against the kingdom of God, even they were convinced. They knew there was a multiple, they knew there was a notable miracle that had taken place, that this man that everybody knew had come to a place of healing. And so they are perplexed by it, but the way they reacted was immediately to start to persecute Peter and John. And so we're going to talk about persecution today, because it comes with the territory of being a Christian. It comes with the territory of speaking the Word of God, especially to people who are hostile, to people who are unbelievers. And so in verse 5, it says, "It came about on that day after the miracle and after 5,000 people came into the kingdom," it says, "it came about on that day that the rulers and elders and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem, and Annas the high priest was there, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were of the priestly descent. And when they had placed Peter and John in the center, they began to inquire, 'By what power or in your name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man, as to how this man has been made well. Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands before you in good health.'" And so this message kind of sounds like the same message that Peter preached to the multitudes in Acts chapter 2. He started to explain to them that this man, Jesus Christ, that was crucified by your hands, by your intent, and by your hostility, this man is the power behind the miracle that you saw that raised this crippled man up. And he walked and he jumped for joy. And this man was known all through the village, all through the area, because he had been crippled from birth. And so you can imagine how astounded they were that this man suddenly became a whole man, suddenly had healing. And so they were very inquisitive as to how it happened that these two men from Galilee could give healing to this crippled man. And of course, then Peter, who is very bold in his newfound faith, very bold in his witness, he says, "Let it be known to you that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands before you in good health." Well, we learn something here from this miracle, and any miracle of healing, that is the blood of Jesus, can heal you of any illness, any infirmity, any sickness that you have. That's why I start each and every message every Sunday morning. I start it with prayer for healing, because the same blood of Jesus that saves you, the blood that opens the door for your salvation, by the blood that he shed for you on the cross and at the whipping post and in every way that he shed it, that blood is sufficient not only for your salvation, it pays for the sins. It is the atoning blood for the sins that you have committed in the past and also the sins that you will commit in the future. But also that blood is sufficient to heal you. And if you have infirmity today, if you have sickness today, if you are crippled today, or if you have mental disturbance, mental disorder, and struggle with coping with life, and you have depression and despair and discouragement, the blood of Jesus can set you free from that. I want you to read, we're not going to go look at it today, but I want you to read Mark chapter 2, these men that brought this paralytic down into this room where Jesus was at. They brought him in through the roof of this place, this room, because it was so crowded they couldn't come in through the door. They brought this paralytic in, and Jesus said to this paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And so the Pharisees and the religious elite, the people who were there, said, "Who is this man?" They were shocked. They were offended. "Who is this man who thinks that he can forgive sins? Only God alone can forgive sins." And so Jesus said, "To prove to you that I have authority to forgive sins here on the earth," he said to the man, "Son, take up your pallet and walk." And this paralytic took up his pallet and he walked. He took it into town and he became an evangelist. So Jesus proved that he had the authority and he had the power, and that his blood is sufficient for us to not only be saved and have our sins washed away by his blood, but also his blood is sufficient for you to have healing. And we're not going to get into a big message on healing today, other than to say one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is gifts of healing. And when you have the Spirit of the living God residing in you and abiding with you, you can pray for other people. You can pray for people in your family. You can lay hands on people and pray for them that they will be healed, and believe in your heart that they will be healed. You can also pray for your own healing. If you have issues in your body, start praying and ask the Lord to give you strength and to believe for healing. Start seeing yourself as healed. Start speaking over yourself as healed. But you can start to step in that direction, or maybe you will get a miraculous healing. Maybe you'll get a spontaneous healing and you'll know instantly that you're healed of something. We've seen lots of miracles in Africa. I believe in healing miracles. I believe in miracles that don't have to do with healing. And I know that God can raise people from the dead. I know he can heal people. I've seen it over and over in our crusades and in our church services, church revivals. And so if you believe for healing, start speaking it over your life. By the stripes that Jesus took, we are healed. And so you believe that the blood that he shed, the stripes that he took, you can be healed of your infirmity. You can be healed of your mental disturbances, your depression, your despair, everything that is wrong with you. God can straighten it out. God can make it right. And so you start to speak it, you start to believe it, and wait and watch and see it happen. And so Peter goes on to say that Jesus is the stone which was rejected by you. He's speaking to these people who are gathered there, the people who had come to rabble-rouse and persecute Peter and John. He said, "This stone which you rejected, the builders, but which became the very cornerstone." Again, he's talking about Jesus Christ, the cornerstone of all civilization, the cornerstone of everyone on the earth. And so here comes the confession in Acts 4:12. This is Peter. He's saying, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." And then when the authorities threatened Peter and John, told them to shut up, that they can't keep preaching in the name of Jesus, they can't keep preaching about Jesus being the Savior, they threatened them and they let them go on account of the fact that the people who saw this miracle, who knew about this miracle and knew there was something very unusual, very supernatural going on, the people had been convinced, and they were putting so much pressure on the authorities, that the authorities let Peter and John go. Verse 18, when they had summoned Peter and John, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Well, that brings us to persecution. Beloved, if you are a believer in Christ Jesus, if you are a spokesperson, and I hope you are, for the gospel, if you're not silent and hiding about your faith in Jesus Christ and your faith in the work of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God, you're going to be persecuted. It's been spoken to us over and over in God's word, and so I want you to prepare for that, because God doesn't want you to be silent. He wants you to speak up. He wants you to be a witness. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we read that scripture a few weeks ago. Jesus said, and you will be my witness. You will receive power, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. Beloved, that is God's plan for your life, that you be a witness. And he wants you to go to church every Sunday. He wants you to be in Bible studies. He wants you to spend time in prayer. But more than anything else, Jesus said, go unto all the nations, teaching all that I've commanded you, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. And so he wants you to go. He wants you to speak. I'm not saying everybody has to go to Africa or everybody has to go to India or any specific place. God will show you and open the door for you and provide provision for you, where he wants you to go, who he wants you to speak to, how he wants you to do it. He'll help you raise the provision or provide the provision for what you need to make a journey. But that is God's plan for your life. And following that, then comes the persecution, because the world is hostile to the message of the cross. The world is hostile to the message of Jesus Christ. The world doesn't want to heed it. The world doesn't want to heed it. The world doesn't want to receive it. The world is run by the devil. The systems of the world are run by the devil. He is the ruler of this world. But Jesus said, never mind, I have overcome the ruler of this world. I have overcome the world. And so when you speak against the systems that are in operation in the world and over the world, then the persecution will come. Matthew 24, verse 8, this is the time of birth pangs or the time of sorrows. Jesus is talking about the end times coming or the future times. We're not at the total end time yet. We're not in the tribulation or the last parts of the book of Revelation, but we are in the time of sorrows, the time of birth pangs. And so the time of sorrows and birth pangs, there's wars, there's rumors of wars, there's pestilence, there's earthquakes. All of these things that you see happening are in the time of sorrows and the time of birth pangs. Matthew chapter 24, verse 9. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations on the account of my name. And so Jesus said, you're going to get delivered to the authorities. If you speak loud and you speak bold, if you speak up for the kingdom, you're going to suffer persecution because the authorities will come looking for you. Well, if you go back to the parable of the sower, one of the great parables that Jesus spoke, Matthew chapter 13, verse 20, the better said, four different kinds of soil where the seed was sown. And the first kind, the seed was sown beside the road. The second kind was the stony places. And Matthew chapter 13, verse 20, and the one whom seed was sown on the rocky places or the stony places, this is the man who hears the word, and immediately he receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arise because of the word, he immediately falls away. And so the seed is sown on the rocky places. Looked like some of the land we had in Arkansas. There wasn't any good topsoil there. And so the rocky places isn't really fertile ground for a big crop. And so it says the message or the word is received with joy, but the root doesn't go down. There's no good firm root. It is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arise because of the word, immediately he falls away. And so this is a picture of many people. They get excited. They receive the word. They're ready to be nation busters. They're ready to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And they've got all kinds of big ideas and speak all kinds of promises to God. I'm going to go on mission trips. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And yet they get persecuted and they fall away. They get persecuted. They don't follow through with any of the things they vowed to the Lord. And so the persecution may come from their own family, may come from their mother, their father, even their husband, their wife. It may even come from the church in some places. Pastors are hostile to missions work. Pastors are hostile at times to great moves of the Spirit. If it's something they've never seen before, they sometimes get hostile to it. And so there is persecution that arises when a person gets really on fire and gets too excited. And so that persecution then forces them to back away, and they keep backing away, and they keep being silent to the point where they have no root in themselves and they fall away. That does not promote the gospel. It's better to get to that point where you can have that firm root in yourself and you can make a big contribution for the kingdom of God. You can receive that seed and you can make good fruit in your life. You can make good fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold blessing, and 30, 60, and 100-fold multiplication. And because you are enduring to the end, you will then produce good fruit for the kingdom of God. Well, more on persecution, Matthew 5:11. This is from the Sermon of the Mount. And Jesus said, "Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me." So don't get upset if you get insulted. Don't get upset if you get persecuted. I'm telling you, it's coming. If you speak for the gospel, it's coming, and it may come from people that you hold very dear in your life. And so don't get too worked up about it. Expect it, and you will remember this message when it comes, because it is in the Bible, it's in God's word, and I'm telling you also, it's going to come if you speak out and speak boldly for the kingdom of God and for Jesus Christ. You're going to get persecuted. Well, Jesus went on to say, blessed are those, this is verse 10, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Rejoice, verse 12, and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And so just keep that in mind whenever you get persecuted by someone in your family or someone in your church. Or maybe it's not even anybody you know. I get persecuted sometimes. I get letters from people for messages that I've spoken over the radio. People want to take issue with me and challenge me on all kinds of things. And I'm not offended by it. I expect it. It's not necessarily always a difference in doctrinal stance or doctrinal viewpoint. It could just be they want to rag at me and they want to persecute me, they want to shut me up, and so it's to be expected with the territory that I have, it's to be expected with the ministry that I have, and you may get to that same place in your own life someday. Well, Matthew 10:22, a couple of more scriptures here, and you will be hated by all on account of my name, but it is the one who endures to the end and who will be saved. Keep your eye on the prize. keep your eye on the goal. When you endure to the end, you will not only be saved, but your rewards in heaven will be great. You're going to have crowns stored up for you in heaven, and you're going to have a great reward when that day comes, when you walk into heaven and you see Jesus. Whenever they persecute you, verse 23, Matthew 10, whenever they persecute you in this city, flee to the next, for truly I say to you, you shall not finish going through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes. Well, praise God for that. I hope you have a bold stance, a bold testimony for Jesus Christ. If you have been saved, you have a testimony. It may not be that you went into the prodigal territory. It may not be that you were in the pig pen. Maybe you've been a good person or a believer, but you have a testimony of what Jesus has done for you. Speak it out. Be bold. You have that power if you have the Holy Spirit. You have that dunamis power to speak out the words of God and to let others know what Jesus Christ has done for you. That is God's plan for your life. That is Jesus' plan for your life. And when you do that, beloved, you'll start to get a boldness about you, and no one can hush you. No one can shut you up. You will want to speak it to everyone that you come in contact with. You may even want to speak it on the radio or on the TV or some other place like that. And so that is God's will for your life, and your reward in heaven shall be great. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise God for that. We thank you for this day and those who are listening today. If you would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you. Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. That's Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. We are a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, and so all of your donations are tax deductible. You can donate on PayPal at paypal.me/gatheroutcast. That's paypal.me/gatheroutcast. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/Jim Rao, and you'll see lots of pictures there of the children's home and our Africa mission activities. Well, thank you again for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.